Recently, someone reminded me of a lesson I gave several years ago. It was entitled, Play Life Backwards. At that particular time, it was, matter of fact, I think I had the date 1998 on that lesson. That particular time, I was a golf coach at NXA. I taught at NXA, and I got to teach, or got to coach golf as a extra thing to do. And something that I enjoyed very much. I'm going to use the game of golf to illustrate my main point of the lesson. How many here have ever played a round of golf? Raise your hand. I'm just curious how many is going to get this lesson. All right, hands down. How many has just at least took a golf club and swung at a golf ball and tried to hit it? Okay. All right, so we have several that have attempted to do that. You know, in life, many times we enroll our children in sports to help them to develop into a well-rounded adult capable of functioning in the battleground of life. In the animal world, we see the young offspring, we see them sporting with one another, and this is nature's way, I think, of preparing the young for the big, harsh world of survival of the fittest. Now, I realize that some people don't think sports is too good of a thing to be involved in. Sports gets a bad rap sometimes because of bad sportsmanship. But sports administered correctly is capable of teaching our children self-discipline, teamwork, loyalty, honesty, the ability to react positively under pressure, playing by the rules, how to learn from a defeat, and how to be a gracious winner. And there could be several other things I could mention. Golf is a very good game that teaches good life lessons. And the one life lesson that I would like to teach from my lesson today is how to make a good score by playing the hole backwards. I don't know if you've ever heard of that concept or thought of that, but that's what a good golfer does, is they learn how to play the hole backwards in their mind. Now, golf is really, when you think of the game of golf, it's a very simple game. It's simply hitting a ball from point A to point B. And I'm trying to get there between these two points in the fewest amount of strokes. That's the concept of the game. Even though the concept is very simple, it's a very difficult sport to master. And when we break down the game of life, it also has a simple concept. It's interesting that Mike chose to teach about what he's taught this morning. Okay, but he was teaching about the concept of life. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and in this particular book he was referred to as the preacher. These following scriptures I'm going to give you here, read them, are the conclusion to this book of Ecclesiastes. Listen to the simple concept there is to life. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and the excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Very, very simple concept. Fear God and keep His commandments. But it's not easy to do, always. But when we keep the commandments of the Lord, we bring Him pleasure. What brings you pleasure? Well, what brings God pleasure is when you do His commandments. After all, that's why He created us, is to bring Him pleasure. Revelation 4:11 tells me that. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's my simple assignment in life, is to give God pleasure. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. So, if we give God pleasure, he tells us that he has arranged for us a victory party to commence at the completion of our life. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I got to thinking, well, what if I sent out a survey? Maybe I surveyed 1 million people, just kind of a cross-section across America. And I asked this question. What's the best way to score in life? What kind of answers do you think I would get? Can you imagine the answers that I might get? What is the best way to score in life? A person who wants to play the game of golf goes through about 3 stages. Dwayne can really feel for this, because him and I kind of started playing golf together. We started working 10-day weeks. Dwayne was a contractor and I was a laborer for him, and we took Fridays off. And him and I decided we was going to play golf. We didn't get any lessons. We just got some golf clubs and went out and started playing. But in the first phase of golf, a rate beginner starts out trying to learn some of the basics to get a good start. You should really get some lessons to get the basics right, but Dwayne and I didn't do that. But a proper grip, proper swing, playing, and all that is very, very helpful to get the ball in the air. Anybody can hit a worm burner, send the ball just rolling across the ground. We did that a lot, didn't we, Dwight? But we thrilled that when the ball got in the air and flew, you know, toward our target. And then, of course, the beginner must learn that the golf ball is very hard and can be very dangerous. And if you hit it wrong, it could break things like windows and etc., or the windshield of a car driving by. I don't think we did that, Dwayne, did we? I have seen people do that. And the golf club is a lethal weapon also. So there's some safety precautions that have to be observed. Then the second phase is once you can kind of get the ball airborne, then you've got to learn that each club hits the ball a different distance. Okay, you have 14 clubs in your bag, and you can hit the ball different distances, get the ball to do what you want to do. Of course, if you decide that you want to compete in golf and actually play on the golf course, you've got some rules that you've got to learn, the basic rules of the game. There's nothing worse than going to the golf course and playing, and somebody comes out there that doesn't know anything about the rules, and they decide, well, I just want to play golf, and you have to play behind them. That's very frustrating. Then phase three, the final stage of becoming a golfer is learning how to make a good score. Well, I never did ever get through phase three. I'm still trying to do that, and I doubt if I'll ever get any farther than what I am. When I say learning how to make a good score, I'm not talking about being able to figure out how to change your score on the golf card. You know, when you go to the golf course, most of the time, the pencils that you get do not have erasers on them. And that's for a good reason. It's because you're supposed to write your score down as you go, and you don't erase and change your score to make it look better. Okay? So, the possibility of attaining a good score is enhanced by learning how to manage the golf course. And that can be accomplished by precisely knowing the exact destination of where you're going. Well, some people say, well, I'm on the tee box and I see the greens up there, that's where I'm going. And that's kind of about all there is to it. I just aim down the middle and try to get there. Well, you may not end up with a good score. If a person knows the exact location of the pin in relationship to how the green lays, if you know like how many dangers there are around the green with sand traps, if there's water, and etc., that's all very helpful. If you know that there's sand traps that are in the fairway on the way to the green, that's helpful to know that too. So, there's a saying that we have in life that I think most of us all have heard. If you fail to plan, you will plan to fail. If you can learn to play each hole backwards in your mind, you have a successful plan. Because you know where you're going and you know the dangers that are involved on the way there. Each shot you take should have a planned location of where it's going to land. If you hit the ball without a plan, expect to have an inflated score. Because you're going to end up in sand traps, you're going to end up out of bounds, you're going to end up in water, and et cetera, et cetera. First time you ever go to a golf course, sometimes it's good, if you got a golf cart, drive up there and kind of look at the hole and see what lies ahead if you've never played it before. Okay, now they give you a scorecard and it kind of shows you the locations of stuff, and sometimes they have a really good map of exactly what confronts you. Some golf courses even tell you the exact location of where the hole is going to be. If you're going to play a good grade of golf, that's important that you know that. But the bottom line is there's consequences to every shot you take in golf. There's consequences. And that is also true in life, isn't it? Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." It's a basic principle that we all live by. We can't change that. You can will it away in your mind, but it does no good. It's a principle, and it's there. And every shot you take in life, there's going to be a consequence. Now, on page 600 in our blue songbook, there's a song that goes like this: "Life is like a mountain railroad." Well, from my perspective, life is like a game of golf. God is the official scorekeeper, and you keep your score on your own scorecard as you play the game to verify what you've accomplished. The rules of the game are found in the official rule book called the Bible that Mike talked about this morning. For those who have chosen God's rule book to live by, they must read it continually to help them obtain the best possible score. Now, I don't know you that have played golf out here ever looked at a rule book, a golf rule book, but it's sometimes I think if you was a lawyer, you'd be better off to be able to read that thing. But it takes a lot of study to understand those rules. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." How do you know that you are really of the faith of God? So you examine yourselves, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So we have to test ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God." How do you know if you're approved of God? Well, the only way you know is to use that book Mike talked about this morning, the Bible. So be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians 5:8-16. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now this verse is addressing people that have embraced the Lord. So he says, you're in the light now. Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." That's what I mean when you want to score good in golf, you got to walk circumspectly. You got to look at the whole picture. Where's the hole? Where's the dangers? What do I have to do to avoid those? What path am I going to take to get there? But even when you've played every hole backwards in your mind, and you've mapped out the precise path that you're going to take, does that always happen, Dwayne? How many times did we ever really actually hit the ball the way we had it mapped out in our mind? It doesn't happen very many times. I was reading a book that Jack Nicklaus wrote one time, and he said that if you hit 6 shots exactly the way you had planned, you're pretty fortunate. 1 John 1:8-10. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Even though we embrace Christ, and we try to look ahead, and we try to play life backwards, and we say to ourselves, well, what would God want me to do in this situation? Even though we do that, we still make mistakes. We're all sinners. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Now, another way that golf is like life is that sometimes during a round of golf, things happen that just aren't very fair. I've heard of all kinds of stories. You're on the tee box, and you tee, and you hit the ball, and all of a sudden a bird flies by, and bam, your ball hits the bird as it flies by. I watched on TV the day before, and they showed this guy hit a shot, and he kind of hit it awry. I don't know if it ricocheted off something, but it ended up in a bathroom. He had to go in there after it. Then they have to apply the rules. There's different rules you have to apply to how do you get out of that situation. Okay, that's not very fair. Sometimes you hit the ball and you think, man, that is a perfect drive. Maybe you hit it over the hill and you hit it right down the middle. And you go up there and you can't find it. And you think, what? Sometimes they bounce off sprinkler heads and they ricochet and they go places you don't even know where they go. None of that's fair. But It's all part of the game. It's called rub of the green. That's the exact term that they use in golf. It's called rub of the green. And be as it may, there's no do-overs, and you must play the ball as it lies. You know, in life, things happen. And we have to play life as it comes to us. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." A bad golfer, he lets that kind of stuff get in his head, and he gets all bent out of shape, you know. "Oh, I can't believe I was so unlucky that I hit that sprinkler head or whatever." And they get all bent out of shape, and now they can't even focus on the next shot. And that's what you do in golf. You focus on one shot at a time, but once that leaves you, you're in trouble. And your score doesn't come out very good. You know, the Apostle Paul found himself in many situations that seemed unfair. But he found contentment in the Lord. And we know that by several stories. While preaching the gospel in Philippi, Paul was beaten with rods and thrown in prison. He not only was thrown in prison, he was put in stocks. Acts the 16th chapter, verse 25 through 34, but it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed." I don't think Paul had in mind that that was going to happen, but the Lord was working for him, and it did happen. It says, "The keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Interesting story, isn't it? Terrible thing that happened to Paul. But he was committed to the Lord, and he just played on. Didn't complain. As a matter of fact, it says they sang praises to the Lord. For those who play by God's rule books, know that all things will work out for the best when you decide to please the Lord. We have a scripture that tells us that, Romans 8 and 28, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, as I already mentioned, those 25 years that I coached golf at Nixa was the highlight of my teaching career, really. It was the one big thing I really looked forward to every year. It was great. It's not to say that everything went smoothly and it was always a fantastic thing to be involved in. One of the most embarrassing things I ever had to deal with was a student that changed his golf score on his way to the turn into the score table. After the round that you play in a big tournament, that's what it was a big tournament in Cassville, Missouri, you play in groups of four, and you all have a scorecard, and one guy keeps his score, and he keeps his score, and he keeps his score. So you've got somebody else keeping your score, and then at the end of the round, you look at your score, and you keep your score on the card that you have, and you verify that each score is exactly the way the guy kept your score. And when you say yes, and you sign your name to it. The student I had, he says, hey, I'll take the scorecards up to the score table. So he volunteered to do that. And on his way, apparently he had a pencil with an eraser on it, and he changed his score. He knocked off about 4 strokes, and he almost got away with it. One of the kids in the group happened to be looking up at the big scoreboard, and he saw this kid score, and he said, he didn't shoot that. And it was a very embarrassing thing for me. When the end of time comes, we're going to wish that we had a great score, aren't we? We don't want to stand before the judge of the world and think, well, I don't know if this score is good enough or not. I don't know if I really did my best. No, we don't want to stand before the judge with that kind of attitude. And if you cheat on your own scorecard, and you convince yourself that, oh, hey, I did a good job, that's not going to do you any good either. God, our official scorekeeper, knows exactly how you play. You can't trick him, or you can't fool him. Okay, well, we may trick people that play along with us in life, that maybe didn't actually play right with us, and they may think you have a good score. But you cannot fool the official scorekeeper. We may know all the rules of the rule book, but if we can't apply what we've learned, we can't expect a good score. Luke 6:47-49 says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, again when the stream beat vehemently, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. May we all look to the future and assess where we're headed. That's a great question that Mike presented to us. Where am I headed? What's next? What happens after this life? Then what? Well, we have a book that tells us then what. It explains it very well. It behooves us to read it and to understand.